The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Ki Tzetzeh.
In Parshas Ki Tzetzeh, in Perek Chof Gimel, beginning with Pasuk Gimel, the Torah here tells us of various people who are not allowed to come into the Kal Hashem, the congregation of Hashem. The Yovel Mamzer B'Kal Hashem. A Mamzer, that is someone who is born from either an incestual or adulterous union, is not allowed to come into the congregation of Hashem. Gam Dor Asiri Lo Yovel B'Kal Hashem. Even the 10th generation of a Mamzer should not come into the congregation of Hashem. Then it states, Lo Yovei Amoni Umayavi B'Kal Hashem. The nations of Ammon and Moab are not allowed into the congregation of Hashem. Gam Dor Asiri Lo Yovei Lehem B'Kal Hashem Ad Olam. Even the 10th generation forever are not allowed. Avar Hashem Ekimu Eskem Balechem Umayim B'Derek B'Tzeiskem B'Mitzroim. Because they did not come out to meet you with bread and water when you went out of Egypt. And Moab went and hired Bilam, the prophet of the Goyim, to curse you. And Hashem did not listen to the curses of Bilam, and he turned the curses into brocha, because the Lord your God loves you. You shall not seek their peace or their goodness all of your days forever. Then it states, you shall not hate or reject an Adami, anyone from Edom, because he is your brother. You shall not completely hate or reject an Egyptian, because you were a stranger in his land. Sons, children which are born to them in the third generation, they may come into the congregation of Hashem. So we're dealing here with five people: the Mamzer, Amen and Mayav, and Edom and Mitzri. Now Rashi explains, and from the Sifri and from the Gemara, when it states Lo Yovei Mamzer B'Kal Hashem, that the Mamzer should not come into the congregation of Hashem, what does this mean? Lo Yisa Yisraelis. This means that he's not allowed to marry a Yisraelis. He's not allowed to marry a Jewess. Or, if it's a Mamzeris, a female Mamzer, then she's not allowed to marry a full-fledged Jew. Even the 10th generation. It's forever. Doesn't mean that he's not Jewish, because since he's born to a Jewish mother, he is Jewish. So therefore it means that he should not marry into the congregation of Hashem. And the Gemara explains that this is into the center of the congregation of Hashem. He can marry Psule Kohol. See, those who are not in the center of the congregation of Hashem, but they belong to the congregation, but they're not in the center, for example, other mamzerim or mamzeris or other type of people like that, that he could marry. The same is when it refers to the Ameni Umayovi. Now the Amen and Mayov, these were two nations, and here it's referring to also that they should not marry into the congregation of Hashem. When it says Le Yovei, it does not mean you shall not accept them. If they want to become Gerim, these are foreign nations, if they want to become Jews, then we will accept them. But once they're Megaya, they do become Jews. They're not allowed to marry into the central part of the congregation of Hashem. They can only marry what is known as Psuli Kohol, those who are not in the central part. So therefore a full-fledged Jew or full-fledged Jewess, they would not be allowed to marry. Ador Asiri, Gamdor Asiri, even the 10th generation. And the same it refers to Edom and Mitzri. That if they want to convert, then we will accept them. But after conversion, they're not allowed to marry. But here the Torah said that the third generation would be allowed to come in. Now there are, besides the halacha ramifications, and to understand what the Torah means by this, there's also much that we can learn, because we see here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, was merachik certain nations or certain people. He rejected them. And from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejects or what he brings close, we can see what is dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what is hated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's spend this evening going into some of the principles which are mentioned here and to see what we can learn. In regards to the Mamzer, the Gemara tells us that a Mamzer is born from the Arayas HaChamures, from those unions which are forbidden by the Torah, and they are a very severe degree. They carry a severe punishment of Chayvei Krisus or Chayvei Mrs. Bezdin, of either where one would be cut off by heaven. Let's just wait till there. or there would either be a capital punishment by heaven or a capital punishment by the Bezdin, by the courts. And this is limited to a union which is either adulterous with another man's wife, or which would be known as incestual, with a very, very close kinship, a close relative. The word mamzer itself, the Gemara brings in Masechta Yevamos in Perek Ha'Or. The Gemara brings it. Where is the Gemara? And the fine word on the base. It comes from the word mum zor, which means that this person has a blemish in him, which is strange. Mum zor, right? A blemish which is alien to him. Right? And one of the Meforshim, one of the Rishayim, the Chizkuni, says that this person was born to a mother from a union that was zor to her. Neilid mi imai al yedei zor. He was born to a mother from a union that was alien to her. And since this was his very beginning, this was his shevish, this was his root, so therefore this is inherent in him, and it's something which he cannot get rid of, and it goes over to all of his generations. So first of all, from the fact that it's inherent in him, so therefore lo yovei, he's not roi, he's not fit to come into the congregation of Hashem through marriage, because he's not fit to cleave with the rest of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is mevulach. They're a blessed nation. They're a sanctified nation. And this person has a mumzor, he has a blemish of an alienship in him. And secondly, since this is something which is right at his source, at his very root, therefore it will continue in all of his generations. Therefore, the deen is, the halacha is, that if one mamzer marries someone else, the children will also be mamzerim. So this is what mamzer is, this is what the word means. And from here we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merachik, he rejects totally adultery or incest. in the free society, the liberated society that we live in today, we see how contrary this is to the standard set by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the Almighty. A union with someone else's wife, that offspring is born to a mother from such an alien union that it's imprinted on him forever and all of his generations. And this is what is known as the Mumzor. He's not responsible for it. He's an innocent victim of circumstances. He's an innocent victim of guilt of others. But nevertheless, this becomes his structure. And such a blemish, such an imperfection it is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be merachik. He had to reject him forever, where he can never marry into the central part of Klal Yisrael. He can marry others on the fringe, like the Adami and the Mayavi and so forth, but never can he marry into the central part of Klal Yisrael. That's if they're Megayer, say, after they're Megayer. Now, on the other hand, the Mamzer himself, who is this innocent victim of the guilt of his parents? He's a Jew. He's a full-fledged Jew. Not allowed, as we mentioned, to come into the center of Kol Yisrael in regards to marriage, but he's a full-fledged Jew. And he's chayev, he's obligated in all mitzvahs. Not only do we find that he's a full-fledged Jew, but he can even sanctify himself and bring himself to great levels. The Gemara tells us, the Mishnah, the Gemara tells us, that if a mamzer learns Torah, and he becomes a Talmud Chochem, he's a Talmud Chochem, becomes a great person. Not only that, it states, mamzer Talmud Chochem, keidem le kein godel amoritz. If you have a kein godel, the high priest, who's an ignorant person, and you have a mamzer who studies Torah and becomes a great Talmud Chochem, who should you honor first? The Gemara says you're obligated to give honor first to the mamzer, who's the Talmud Chochem, before the kein godel amoritz. And why is this? So the Gemara learns it from a pasuk, Yikorehi mipnimim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that my Torah is dearer to me mipnimim than pearls. And the Gemara darshins, pnimim means pearls, and it also means the inner sanctuary. The Torah is more dearer to me than even the inner sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash. Then even he who goes into the most inner sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, if the Kohen Gadol, the great priest, the high priest, is what he should be, he's also a Talmud Chochem. That's something else. But if he's ignorant of Torah, and you have a person here who is a Talmud Chochem, even though he's a Mamzer, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, this is dearer to me. Therefore, you are obligated to give him honor before the Kohen Gadol. The Maral in his Pirush on Ovis explains why this is. Because the Kohen Gadol, he has what is known as a Kedushas HaGuf, a physical sanctity. He was born with a sanctification. He was Neileg B'Kedusha. Torah is not a physical sanctification. Torah is a spiritual sanctification. The Mamzer, what's his shortcoming? It's close to his physical makeup. Because this is how he was born. So the Mamzer is just contrary to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol was born with a physical sanctification, and the Mamzer was born just the opposite, with lack of physical sanctification. But if the Mamzer studies Torah and becomes a great Talmud Chochem, so then he sanctifies himself spiritually. So this puts him on a higher level than a Kohen Gadol Amoritz, than a Kohen Gadol that has only a physical sanctification and lacks the spiritual perfection. is in regards to the mamzer, and this is something very important for us to be cognizant of in our society, in our free and liberal society. As we mentioned, that we see that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was forced to reject the mamzer forever from the center of Kal Yisrael. So from here we see what such a union can cause and what is the value of such a union. Then the Torah comes and tells us about the Ameini Uma Ovi. Now here we're speaking not of someone who's born Jewish, but being born non-Jewish. These two nations, Amein and Ma'ov, these were the two nations which were born from the union of Lot and his two daughters. If you recall that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent his angels to the house of Lot, the nephew of Abraham, and they told him that the city was being destroyed. Come, you must flee for your lives. Not everyone in Lot's family fled, only Lot and his two daughters. And they went and they hid in a cave in the mountains. They found a bottle of wine, and the two daughters thought that the entire world was destroyed. So they said, let us make our father drunk, and we will go to him this evening. So a seed shall be born in order that we can repopulate the world. So the older one went the first night, and the younger one went the second night. And two offsprings came from these unions, and they were called Ma'ov and Ammon. So these are the two nations that came from Lot and his daughters. Now these two nations, the Torah says, that you shall never bring them close to Klal Yisrael. As we mentioned, it's referring that these two nations, these people are not Jewish, but they're coming to be Megayer. If they want to be Megayer, then we accept them. They're converted. But even after the conversion, after the Gerus, they're not allowed to marry into the central part of Klal Yisrael. They must always stay on the fringe. They must marry other people on the fringe, or their own type, never a full-fledged Jewish man or Jewish woman. Lo yovei ameini uma'ovi bekal Hashem gam dor asiri. Even the 10th generation, lo yovei lehem bekal Hashem ad olam. How do we know it refers to this? Maybe it refers that we should not accept them as converts. Maybe that's what it means, lo yovei bekal Hashem. So the Gurai writes that no, we must say this way. This is how the Gemara says. But what is its proof? Because it states even the 10th generation. If it's speaking about accepting them as converts, so what does it mean even the 10th generation? It's always the first generation. If someone wants to come and convert and we don't accept him as a convert, and then his son wants to convert, or his grandson wants to convert, and we don't accept them as converts, they're always the first generation. So what does it mean even the 10th generation? Well, like later on it says the 3rd generation you could accept. So it must be speaking where someone came to convert. He's a Jew now, and now he wants to marry anyone in Israel, so we don't leave him. Now his son, who's born Jewish, wants to come and marry someone in Israel. That's the 2nd generation. We still don't leave him. Now there's a 3rd generation that wants to come and marry. We still do not allow them. Okay? Even the 10th generation. By the next two, there it states that the 3rd generation you can accept. Okay? But here you can never accept them at all. The Torah gives the reason why. So it states, Al-Dvara Shalei Kitmo Eschem Balechem Maim Bederech Betzeischem B'Mitzroim. When you were going out of Egypt, you came to their land. And when you were asked to go through the land, and you said that, let us come through and give us bread and water, And we even offered to buy it from you. They said that if you will come through our land, we will go meet you with the sword. So Klal Yisrael was not able to go. They had to circumvent the land. Then the Torah says a second reason. Vashe sochar alecho es bilim ben bo'or miftoar aram naraim lekal alecho. It was the Melech Moav, the king of Moav, that went and hired Bilim in order to curse you. Now, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu reject these nations on this basis? So on the second reason, Rashi brings from the Sifri that from here we learn what it means to be Machti Asachirim, to cause others to sin. It wasn't that the emphasis was that Bilam was hired to curse Klal Yisrael. That itself was not the main problem. But the main problem was is that in the end, Bilam told Moav what to do with this nation. He said, I'll tell you how to bring the downfall of this nation. Get them to rebel against their God. If they'll do that, then you'll bring the downfall. So he made the whole scheme, send your daughters and let your daughters tempt them and seduce them, and then you'll bring them to Avodah Zarah, to idolatry also, and this will bring the downfall of Klal Yisrael, which Bilam succeeded, because this took place and this caused a tremendous tragedy where many were killed. So Rashi brings from the Sifri, from here we see how Chomer Amachti Asachirim. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu hated this nation is because they brought Klal Yisrael to rebel against him, to do Avera. And therefore, this is one of the reasons why he rejected this nation forever. From here we must learn how severe it is to be Machti Asachirim, to cause others to do Aveir. That's one principle that we have here. The other principle, Al-Dvara Shelekim Eschem Balechem U'Bamayim, that they did not come to give you bread and water. We see that there was the lack of achnosis orchim. They should have come and been machnis orchim, accepted you, give you to eat. There was a lack of achnosis orchim. And this we could ask a question. Just because there was a lack of achnosis orchim, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected them forever. Right? What kind of reason is that? All right, this we'll come to in a few minutes. The Gemara in Yevamos says that in regards to these two nations, Amoni u'Moavi, this refers only to the males and not the females. Amoni v'le Amonis, u'Moavi v'le Moavis. Just the males and not the females. And incidentally, as we're all aware of, Rus was from Moab, and Boaz that married her was on the basis of this halacha, that only the males were rejected, not the females, and therefore he was allowed to marry her, and from her came David HaMelech, King David, and Malchus, kingship to Yisrael. The Gemara says two reasons on that. It's a machlekes tanoim. Either because it's Halacha Meisha Misinai, that this is the way we were taught from Meisha, only the males and not the females. Or the Gemara says another possible reason is because Derech Li'ish Lekadim Belechem Omayim, Ve'ein Derech Bi'isha Lekadim Belechem Omayim. It's the way of a man to go forth and bring bread and water, and not the way of a woman. Now, what does this mean? It means that women should not be involved in achnosas orchim and helping people and feeding them. So the Ramban in the Spirish of Chumash, he explains, because it was speaking outside the boundary. Klal Yisrael did not come into their land. They were not allowed to. They wanted permission to come into the land. And Amen and Mayev said, no, you cannot come in. For men to go outside and to meet a nation with bread and water, that's proper. But for women to go outside the boundary and to meet a nation with bread and water, this is something which is not done. See, this is not done, it's not expected. So therefore, if this was the Aveira, we can only hold the men responsible, not the women. Therefore, Mo'av v'le Mo'avi. Mo'avis. Mo'avi v'le Mo'avit, that the men and not the women. The same thing that a man says in regards to hiring. Derech li'ish li'skor, be'ein derech li'ish li'skor. When it came to hiring Bilam, who are the ones that go and make the schemes at the governmental level? This is the men, not the women. So therefore, we must hold the men responsible and not the women. Now, this is an important principle. We see the Sefer Chinuch brings from here a very important principle. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he comes to extract judgment, he only extracts it from those who are responsible. We should have said that since all of the men, they were responsible for not exercising chesed achdos esochim to Klal Yisrael, they were responsible for hiring Bilam to try to destroy Klal Yisrael. Therefore, the nation was rejected. So we should say the entire nation should be rejected. Men and women. Since all of the men did this Aveira, and therefore we're rejecting a nation, so we should reject the entire nation. So not so. That's not the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The men who were responsible, they were rejected. The women who were not responsible, they were not rejected. Mo'avi v'le mo'avis. Amoni v'le amonis. That's one important principle that we see. Second principle that we can learn from here is women who are obligated to honor their husbands and to follow in the ways of their husbands. That's only if their husbands do what's right. But if their husbands do what's wrong, then they're obligated to do to the contrary, not to follow them. Because we must say that the women had no hand in this. If it was a situation where the men refused to give bread and water and the women encouraged the men to refuse to give bread and water, then the women would have been punished with the same punishment. Or if it was a case where the men went to hire Bilam and the women were involved in this also, in the counsel of it, or in the encouragement of it, then they would also have been held responsible. So the situation must have been just to the contrary, where the women said, we want nothing to do with this. The women said, go and give them bread and water. And the men refused. Or the women said, don't hire Bilam. And they refused. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not have them share in the responsibility. So we see another principle, that even though the woman is the Ezer Kenegde, she's the one who's supposed to be the partner and the helping hand of the husband, but that's dafke l'tev. See, that's only to do good. To do evil, that she's supposed to be against him. And that was the situation here. And therefore, they were saved from this responsibility, therefore they were not rejected. So the men were rejected forever. The women, you can accept immediately. Immediately after they convert, then you may accept them. Not only were the men rejected forever, but it states, Leisidre Shleimam Vetevosum Kolimechayako. You shall not even seek their peace. Which means that we're not supposed to do any good for these nations. We're not supposed to do them favors. And when you go to war, even though we were obligated to try to negotiate peace treaties with every nation that we were going to war with, but these nations, Leisidresh, we were commanded not to seek their peace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected these nations to such an extent. Now let us speak in regards to the last two, and then we'll come back. Leitisayim Ademi ki ochichohu, Leitisayim Mitzri ki geri yisabi atso. Here we're speaking of Edom and Mitzri. Edom, these are the children of Esav. Esav was Edom, and these are his children. You shall not hate Edom because he's your brother. Otherwise, why would I think you should hate him? And if he wasn't my brother, should I hate him? So Rashi explains, really you should hate him. Why? Because he was a great enemy of yours. When you wanted to come through his land, he went out with the sword to meet you. So really you should hate him. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he's not as worse as the others. He's not as bad as the others. And he's ochichohu. He's your brother. Therefore you shall not hate him. Therefore, dor shlishi. The third generation is allowed to marry into Kal Yisrael. Mitzri, the Egyptians, you also should hate. Why? Because they took your firstborn and they threw them into the river. They enslaved you. But Kodesh Baruch Hu said, do not hate them completely. When they come to be Megayer, also the third generation, let them come into Klal Yisrael. Why? Because Ger Ho Yisro Ba'arso, you were a stranger in their land. Rashi tells us, Shohoye Lechem Achsanyo B'Shasat Chak. They were Achsanyo. They gave you a home when you needed it. When Yaakov came down to Egypt and there was no food in Canaan, so Parai gave he and his family a home, good home. He gave Yaakov Goshen, which was the best of Egypt, and he gave all kind of honor to Yaakov and his children, and Yosef was king with royalty. So since they gave you a home when you needed it, therefore, even though later on they turned out to be your arch enemy, and you have a right to hate them, but you shall not reject them completely. The third generation should be allowed to come into Klal Yisrael. The Rambam and better you give me brings these halachas. Excuse me, very cute days. Beginning with halacha yudzayin. Let's just see what we could add from what we have said now that the Rambam summarizes. Rambam says, "Kol ha'akum kulam." All of the nations in the world, all of the greatest nations in the world, kishizgayu v'kablu aleihem kol ha'mitzvah shebateira. But they want to convert. And they want to accept mitzvahs of the Torah. The avodim sheishtachroru, and all slaves who want to free themselves or become free, harein ki Yisrael lechol dover. They become complete Yisraelim like anyone else. As it states, chukah hashir lachem. One law shall be forever, for everyone. Therefore, all of the goyim, when they want to convert and come into Israel, and slaves, they become free and come into Israel, they become equal to anyone else. And immediately, we must allow them to marry any, to marry the Kohol Yisrael, any Yisraelis. With the exception of four nations. And these are the four nations we mentioned. That's Amen, Maya, Mitzrayim, and Edom. Only those four nations are not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael immediately. Or for some of them forever. He doesn't mention the Mamzer here, which is the fifth, because the Rambam is referring to Goyim, the non-Jewish nations. While we mentioned the Mamzer is Jewish. So that's one halacha. Am and Emoriv are not allowed forever. Edom and Mitzri are allowed in the third generation. What does it mean, the third generation? So the Rambam tells us from the Gemara, that means that, for example, if our mother converts, she's the first generation. Her son is the second generation. So her son or daughter would not be allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. The grandchild would. See, Dor Shlishi Yoveh, the third generation could. So the grandchild could. He would be allowed to marry anyone that he wanted. From this we see that there's no other nation that we can reject in this manner. Not even the Zionumis. When Klal Yisrael came in to Eretz Yisrael to conquer the land under Yeshua, so there were seven nations there. And these nations were referred to as the Canaanim, because they all came from Canaan, who was one of the sons of Noah. And one of the grandsons of Noah. These seven nations, we were commanded to drive out of Eretz Yisrael. We were commanded not to leave them, not to allow them to live in Eretz Yisrael, because they were murderers, and they were idolaters, and they were adulterers, everything. Therefore, Klal Yisrael says, drive them out of the land, destroy them, or let them run away. From the fact that we see only four nations we can reject, this means that these seven nations, if one of them would become a ger, he would convert, he would do tshuva, and a ger means he accepts upon himself and himself the 613 mitzvahs, so then we would have to let him marry into Klal Yisrael immediately. This is one thing we see, and this is explicit. This is the mitzvah. A second thing we see from here is even Amalek. Amalek that we were obligated to destroy completely. If one would become a ger, then we have to treat him like any other Jew. And he can marry any Israelis, any Jewish woman. Or a female Amaleki could marry any Jewish man of their choice. And we could be Marachik them. Because we see that only four nations did the Torah reject after conversion. Amalek we are commanded to destroy, but that's as long as they don't convert. The same thing, the seven nations were obligated to destroy or drive out of Eretz Yisrael, but that's as long as they do not convert. But if there's a convert from them, then they become equal, and they're allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael immediately, into the Kal immediately. The Rambam writes, he says, Dovi Yodua, but it's a known fact that from the seven nations, none of them did convert, except one nation, the Gibonim. All of the rest refused. They either went to war, or they ran away. But the only, or they were lost, but they didn't convert. Except the Gibonim. They were the only ones. But eventually, the Dibonim, because of an episode that took place during the time of Shaul, David HaMelech asked them. He forbade them ever to allow them to marry into Kal Yisrael. What was the episode that took place? It was a case where through them, the seven sons of Shaul were murdered. And they were not compassionate towards them. The seven sons of Shaul were murdered by the Givonim, and they had no compassion towards them. So David saw in them an achzorius. He saw in them a cruelty, a ruthlessness. In the earlier days, Yeshua also had made such a law regarding the Givonim. But David strengthened it, and he made it forever, that this nation shall never be allowed to come into Klal Yisrael. Another interesting halacha that the Rambam brings is today, if a person comes, a non-Jew, and he wants to convert, so according to the halacha, we should be obligated to find out what nation he's coming from. Because once he converts, we're going to let him marry anybody of his choice. Maybe he's an Egyptian. Maybe he's from Edom. In which case, only his grandchild would be able to marry Dor Shlishi, the third generation. Maybe he's from Ammon and Moab, which in which case they would never be allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. So it would seem, according to the halacha, we would have to inspect what nations he's coming from. So this the Rambam brings from the Gemara, that Misha Ola Sancheirev, who was the Melech Ashur, the king of Ashur. Misha Ola Sancheirev, Melech Ashur, Bilbo Kola Umesh. He moved all the nations around, from one place to the other. Be'irimim Zebzeh, and he mixed them all up. Be'heglei Sam Mimkimon. And he exiled all of them from their places. And those Egyptians that live in Egypt today, these are not real Egyptians. These are other people. And the same thing, those Edomim that live in Edom, they're not really from Edom. Therefore, it's a sophic on anyone today, any of the nations in the world, it's a doubt as to what original nations they really belong to. Originally, there were 70 nations. And there's a doubt as to what nations they really belong to now. So therefore, call the Porish Merubah Porish. We have a cloud that we're learning in Masech Techulin. Call the Porish Merubah Porish, that you go after the majority. If a man comes and he says he wants to become Jewish, and now we don't know, is he from the 64, the 66 nations, or is he from one of these four nations? So we have the right to assume he comes from the majority of the world, which are not the four nations, not from the minority of the world, which are the four nations. Therefore, call the Porish Merubah Porish, we go after Raiv. Therefore, the Rambam says today, if somebody pitches up and he wants to become a ger, so if he qualifies to become a kosher ger, once he's megayer, then he's allowed to marry any Jewish woman, any Israelis of his choice. We don't have to worry, perhaps he's from these four nations. The Rambam says like this, Bein Edomi, Bein Mitzri today, even if we know that he's from Edom, or if we know that he's from Egypt, or if we know that he's from Ammon, or if we know that he's from Moab, the Rambam says, Bein Kushi, even if he's black, Bein Shara Umes, because even if he's an Egyptian, he's not from the original Egyptians. Even if he's Edom, he's not from the original Edom. Therefore, Mutori Love Bekahal Miyad. He's allowed to come and marry immediately. This is the Rambam's Psak Halacha. This is the Rambam Paskens. Everyone agrees, except in regard to the Egyptians. In regard to the Egyptians themselves, there's a shaila, there's a question. With Derek Oral, with Taisfus, and with other Rishonim. Because there's another source in the Chazal that Sanherib only exiled the Egyptians for a specific amount of time, and then they returned to their place. So some hold that the Egyptians of today can be the original Egyptians. Therefore, some hold that if someone, it's known to us, he's an Egyptian, then if he's Megayer, he'll have to wait three generations before he can marry into Kal Yisrael. Now, today, there are many Arabs living in Egypt. Egyptians are not to be confused with Arabs. Two separate nations completely. Actually, I have heard that in Egypt there are many people that look like Arabs, and then there are a lot of people who are blacker than Arabs, and that might be from the original Egyptians. There are different people altogether. The Arabs come basically from Ishmael, who was the son of Abraham, who came from Shem, who was one son of Noah, and the Egyptians are a descendant of Chom, who was another son of Noah. So it's an entirely different people. At any rate, so this is what the Rambam tells us. Now, what can we learn? The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected these nations. One principle we said was the Machdias Achirim, that how severe to cause other people to sin. Now, the question is, though, the other reason given that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected forever Amin and Nayov because they did not come to meet Klal Yisrael with bread and water. This doesn't seem to be at all in proportion to the penalty. We all know to come and meet someone with bread and water is a great mitzvah. But in proportion to such a penalty, where they should be rejected forever, and this we've said before, we mentioned this before, the Ramban writes a very good reason. These two nations, Amin and Moab, we mentioned that they were saved from Sodom. Why? Because the angels came and saved Lot and his family. Why did the angel save Lot and his family? It wasn't because they were such tzaddikim, such righteous people. It was b'shus Avraham. Because Avraham was mispalel to Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that in the b'shus of Avraham, through the merit of Avraham, I'm going to save his nephew and his family. So their very existence is because of the chesed of Avraham. Now when Klal Yisrael came, the children of Abraham came and wanted to cross their land, and they needed a chesed for them. They were unable to find in their hearts the capability of doing chesed. Doing chesed for the very seed of the person whose chesed, whose kindliness saved them. What do we see from this? We see that they were to the ultimate
far from the midah, from the trait of chesed. Their entire existence came about because Avraham did chesed. Avraham saved them. Now when it came for them in return to do chesed to his children, they weren't capable. So we see in them a total lack of the midah of chesed. This in its own right is worthy of this rejection. Why? The Rambam writes, he says that a person must be more careful with the mitzvah of tzedakah and chesed than any other mitzvah, than any other positive commandment. Why? Because not only is it one of the 613 mitzvahs, and not only is it one of the very, very great mitzvahs, but it's something else also. He says, it's the hallmark of Avraham Avinu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Ki Yodativ Asher Yaseh, I know I am going to bring Avraham close, because Asher Yetzave as Bonav Ubeisai Achrov Lasois Mishpot V'chesed. That he's going, that he will command his children after him to do chesed. The hallmark of Avraham Avinu was chesed, was goodness and kindness. Therefore, besides it being one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, this is the hallmark of Zera Shel Avraham. This is the hallmark of the seed of Avraham. Therefore, the Rambam quotes the Gemara and says, whoever has this great trait, this is a sign he must be from the seed of Abraham. If a person does not have it, yesh lochus liyuchusay, the person cannot find in his heart to do chesed, then you can suspect his ancestry. You see a person that cannot do chesed, you can suspect his ancestry if he does come from Avraham Avinu. Because this was the essence of Avraham. Now, when someone comes into Klal Yisrael and they're going to marry someone in Israel, they have to be capable of cleaving to the children of Avraham. So we accept Geirim, we accept converts from all over. And after they go through the conversion of the tefillah and the milah, and they accept the mitzvahs, so now we say they're worthy of cleaving to the children of Avraham Avinu. But when it came to Amalek and Naioth, who they themselves were the product of the chesed of Avraham, and they could not find it in themselves to return this chesed to their own children of Avraham, then we see that they will never be able to cleave to the seed of Avraham Avinu. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected them forever and said, even Dor Asiri, even the 10th generation, cannot come into the Klal Yisrael. They cannot marry the center of the congregation. That's the males. The females can, because the females didn't lack this chesed, because they were not involved, as we said before. And we brought out in the Shira Shavuos, this past Shavuos, that we see that Rus, in the Sefer Rus, there it's mentioned several times, her great chesed. She didn't lack this trait. Therefore she came into Klal Yisrael. It's interesting to note also that we mentioned that one other nation was rejected forever, and that was the Givonim, through David HaMelech. He rejected them forever. Why was that? Because also they had no midas harachmonas, no midas hachesed. When it came to the killing of the seven sons of Shaul, he saw in them a lack of rachamim, of compassion, axorius, of cruelty. So he saw, therefore, they are not capable of cleaving to Klal Yisrael. Another important principle that we see is that Edom, even though they also did not come to accept Klal Yisrael when they were traveling through the land, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do not reject them. The third generation can come in. Ki achichohu, because he's your brother. We see from here that if a person is your brother, even though at one time he did something bad to you. But Ochichohu, he's still your brother. He's still your brother. Even though they became your arch enemy, but you must forgive him. He's still your brother. This does not mean that if a brother becomes your arch enemy and he's trying to murder you, you must be good to him. No. It's speaking that Edom were your arch enemy, but now we're speaking of an individual that wants to do tshuva. See? He wants to come and he wants to accept mitzvahs and convert. And we want to hold it against him still. And that the Torah said, no, ki yochichohu. If he's willing to do tshuva, okay, then you cannot hold that grudge against him. He's your brother, you must accept him. Therefore, in the third generation, he comes. Now, we come to the mitzri. The Torah said, the mitzri, lo tisayiv, you shall not reject, you shall not disgust, have a disgustful attitude towards the mitzri. Why? Because gera yisu ba'atzom, because you were a stranger in their land and they took you in. The third generation you should allow them to marry. What do we learn from here? That really we should reject the Egyptians. We shouldn't allow any association with the Egyptians. Because during the time of Parai, they destroyed your firstborn, they destroyed your male children, and they enslaved you for many hundreds of years. Therefore you should reject them totally. But because they were aksan yibishasatcha, they gave you a place to live when you needed it, therefore you must not forget that. Therefore, if an Egyptian comes today and he wants to do tshuva and he wants to become a Jew and accept the mitzvahs, we cannot say that you come from a nation of murderers. We don't want you. You have to allow him to become a Jew, and his grandson can marry from the best of Klal Yisrael. But he was a nation of murderers because you once did a favor for us. You took us in when we needed you. Now it's interesting to note that if we would forget this, an Egyptian would come today. Let's say we knew he was an Egyptian. And he would come today and we would say, you'll never marry into us because you're from a nation of murderers. Then we would be doing exactly the same thing that Amin and Moav did. Amin and Moav refused to remember the chesed that Abraham did for them. We would be refusing to remember the chesed that Egypt did for us. And that would be the lack of the Midas HaChesed. And this the Torah said we're not allowed to. Now the Gemara brings on this principle, the Gemara brings as follows. The Baba Kama, Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Beis, says, people say, a well that you drank from, don't throw sticks into it. If you have a well and you drank water from it at one time, now you don't need it anymore. You don't need the water. Don't throw sticks in it. Don't plug it up. This is what people say. So the Gemara says, where do we know this from? Gemara says, we know it from here. They decide Edom ki yochichohu, they decide mitzri, ki ger yisa be'atzoi. Do not hate the Egyptians because you once drank water from them. When you needed them, they gave you a place to live. Then the Gemara tells us in Brochus. Graham, could you give me a second, the Brochus, please? In Brochus, right near the end of Brochus, and of Samach Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara tells us. Tone Rabbonin, Kishenich Nusu Rabbasena Lekere B'Yavne, O Yushom Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yeshet, and Nechemya, Rabbi Lezer, Bnei Shal, Rabbi Yeshet Aglili. When our rabbis came to Keren B'Yavne, in Yavne, this was a great seat of learning. The greatest rabbis of Eretz Yisrael, during the time of the Mishnah, would gather together there. And it was called the Vineyard of Yavne, because they all sat in a semi and a half circle, just like you plant a vineyard. Sat in a half circle in order that everyone could see everyone else when they were talking. When they gathered together there, all the rabbis of Eretz Yisrael, the greatest rabbis, would come from Eretz Yisrael, maybe even out of Eretz Yisrael would come. So there was naturally the problem of accommodation. When they would come there for a great learning session, where would everyone stay? So Balabatim, people in the area, certain ones would open their homes to make a home for these Talmidei Chachamim. So when they would start the processions, the proceedings, Poschu Kulam Bechved Achsanyo, they would start the proceedings by the greatest rabbis, each one would speak, each one would hold a drosho. So they would all start by saying Kved Achsanyo, by giving honor to the Balabatim, to the people who have taken them in. So the Gemara brings Posach Reb Nechemya Bechved Achsanya. Reb Nechemya said, Vayei Meshoa Al Akeni Lechu Sura Redu Mitecha Moleki Penei Sivcho Imoi Vato Asisa Chesed Im Kol Bnei Yisrael. When King Saul was going to destroy Amalek, so he said to Kini, Kini was a descendant from Israel. He said, go away from them quickly, because if you stay with them, then you'll be destroyed with them. So I want you to go away. I don't want you to be destroyed with them, because your ancestor did chesed with all of Bnei Israel. Israel did chesed to Moshe Rabbeinu. He took in Moshe Rabbeinu. Uma Yisrael, shalei koraves Moshe ele lichver atzmoi. Yisrael only took in Moshe for his own honor. Amarech talmud chochem b'seif beisei machilo mashkeo. Now there's two explanations, but one explanation is he took him in for his own honor because he said, go bring Yisrael back. Maybe it's a shidduch. Maybe he'll marry one of us, one of our daughters. So he took in Moshe only for his own honor. So he said, so therefore, and you see, that saved his descendant many years later. So someone who takes in a Talmud Chochem in his house, and he gives him to eat, and he gives him to drink, and he lets him have pleasure from what he owns, so how much more so will there be this great schus? Pasach Rabbi Yesi Bechvei Rachsanyi Medorash. Rabbi Yesi said, Lo tisai vedemi ki achicho hu le tisai mitzvi ki geo yisim ha'atzvi. The Torah said that you shall never reject an Egyptian totally if he wants to come to be Megayer, because you were a stranger in their land. So he says, When did Egypt take in Klal Yisrael? When Yaakov came down, was that for their sake or was it for Paris' sake? It was for Paris' sake, because Paris said in Paris said that if you're good shepherds, you're good people, you're good workers, so I will bring them here and I will appoint them over my herds also, if you're good cattle people. So Pare took them in only for himself. And still, what do we see? That forever HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow us to forget this. That even though later on they became our arch enemy, we were never allowed to reject them.
So someone who takes a Talmud Chochem in his house, and he comes and he gives him to eat and to drink, and he lets him take pleasure from all he has, so how much more so will he have a great schus? So we see as follows. We are commanded that we are prohibited from forgetting a favor. If someone does something good for us, we are not allowed to forget it. And even if that person later on turned against us, but if one of his descendants one day does tshuva, we can't say you come from descendants from a nation that were murderers. You come from Egypt that were destroyed us. We have to say it was your father, your ancestor that took us in when we needed you. So therefore, Leitisai Mitzri, I have to be good to you. You want to do tshuva? You want to join Klal Yisrael? Come. You can marry the best in Klal Yisrael, the third generation. This is what we learn from here. And we cannot say, but he only took us in for his own good. He wasn't interested in our good. No. Pare didn't take us in for our sake. He took us in for his sake. Still, we can never forget that. This is a very important principle. It's an important principle of HaKoros HaTev. We always have to learn to appreciate and recognize what someone does for us. But also, it's a very important, very relevant to today. Because here, this applies to any land where Jews are. But here, right here in South Africa, you have the same situation. Especially, it's very prominent amongst the youth. The youth feel it's the greatest mitzvah to give a kick to South Africa. They can do something to show that they don't want to associate. They don't want South Africa. We're going to leave. It's not a good land. What do we owe them? So forth. Now, the time doesn't allow us, nor I don't know if it's the place to go into the ideals, the political ideals, political principles of South Africa one way or the other. But who's speaking of political principles? This is a great error that many people make. In Mitzrayim, when it came to Egypt, the Torah is speaking of political principles. People go with arrogance and they say, what do I owe South Africa? How can I associate with South Africa? How can I identify? With Egypt, the Torah was going into political principles, political ideals of Pare. The Torah said, Egypt took you in. You must never forget that. You owe it to them forever. And Egypt became the arch enemy against the Jews afterwards. They tried to destroy us, and still the Torah said, do not forget what Egypt did to you. When you needed a place, they gave you a place. Even though he did it for his own good, Paro, he didn't do it for your good. You must never forget it. South Africa has never turned against the Jews. And when the Jews needed a place, they found a place. And it was an Eretz Goshen. They found a fertile land. And Jews thrived here, and they had brocha here. They had physical and spiritual brocha. And how many lands were Jews in where they were impoverished, or they were persecuted, or they didn't have rights, or they didn't have spiritual rights? Yeshivas couldn't thrive under the Tsar. The communists came and destroyed all yeshivas, all learning. Here, whatever the Jew wanted to do spiritually, he was allowed to do. He built shuls, he built fine institutions, whatever he wanted. So people that talk, I'm not going into the discussion whether a person wants to decide if he wants to stay or he wants to leave or whatever he wants to do. This is not what we're discussing. But once people start to talk against South Africa and to try to give it a kick whenever they can and saying, what do I owe it? And I cannot identify with it. And how can I identify with such a government and with such policies and with this? You should know it's way, way off beam from the way Torah thinks, from the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks. HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks a little differently. He said that when Egypt, you needed a place, Egypt took you in. And we don't have to go very deep into the political policies of Pharaoh. Egypt took you in, then you must never forget that. You owe them something. And therefore, one day an Egyptian will come and he will want to join your nation. You cannot say that he's from a nation of murderers that tried to murder our people, because his father gave you a place. Therefore, you must never forget that. And you have to return that chesed. If you don't return that chesed, even though that chesed was done not for our sake, it was done for their sake. If you don't return that chesed, then that's lacking the quality of Avraham Avinu. Just like Amen and Moav. Amen and Moav were not capable of returning the chesed that they had received from Avraham. They were not capable of returning the chesed. They didn't remember what Avraham did for them, and therefore they told Klal Yisrael, you're not coming through the land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're not capable of returning the chesed. Then you're not capable of belonging to Klal Yisrael. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Amen and Moav. You're not capable of returning a chesed, then you're not capable of joining the seed of Avraham Avinu. And therefore he commanded the children of Avraham the same thing. This is a very, very important principle for all people here, in particular for the youth. These are some of the principles that we can learn from these nations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Marachik or Makarov, that he rejected completely or he brought close. And we should endeavor to try to emulate these principles.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.